May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We will read together the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel according to Luke, we'll read part of chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 24. We'll read to the end of verse 62. Luke 22, beginning at verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for gathering us again here in this house of prayer. And Lord, we do pray that as we gather around thy word, that we may know something of thy presence here this evening. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt condescend to visit our assembly with the power of thy Holy Spirit. making known thy presence here as we meet to worship our God. Lord, we pray thy gracious help to be given to each one of us this evening. Those that are here, those that are listening in, that there may be, Lord, an opening up of our hearts, our understanding, Lord, that our eyes might be opened, our eye of faith, that we may be blessed with that gift of living faith, and that faith may be mixed with the hearing, and that we may hear to the profit of our souls. Help one poor sinner to speak. Help us each to listen. And may thy name be honoured and glorified in all that we attend to. We would see Jesus. And Lord, those Greeks of old were blessed with that answer to their desire. And we would come pleading that same desire, that thou would reveal thyself to us in the reading of thy word, in the preaching of it, and as we sing thy praises. And O Lord, as we come to thee in prayer, may the one who sits upon the throne be viewed by faith. May we see the Lord Jesus Christ himself and find, Lord, at peace and that comfort as we come, yes, as sinners, yes, with nothing good in and of ourselves to plead. But may we have that peace and that comfort in the knowledge that thou dost still receive sinners to thyself. And thou wilt in no wise cast out those that come on the ground of mercy, pleading that name which is above every name. And Lord, we would praise and worship thee, dear Lord Jesus, for that finished work, for the glories of the gospel of thy grace, for that work of salvation, for all that was accomplished in that life, death and resurrection, and now ascended into heaven, the glorious God-man, our mediator. We do pray that we may know more and more of thee as we go on day by day. May we prove each one of us that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we pray that thou be with each this evening. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've come. Thou knowest, Lord, the desires, the intents of our hearts. All things are open before thee. Lord, there's nothing hid, nothing secret. Every heart is open. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt search us, that thou wilt try us, that thou wilt see if there is any wicked way in us, that thou wilt reveal to us our failings and our needs as sinners. Lord, may we not be held in some delusion, thinking that we're one thing, but really we're something else. Lord, we pray that Satan may not delude us and bring us to think that we have something in and of ourselves. But Lord, may we be searched. May thy light, the light of thy gospel, shine into our hearts. Oh, may Christ Jesus be set forth before us. May we, as Zacchaeus did, perceive a great difference between himself and the Lord Jesus. And may, Lord, we each be brought to heartfelt sorrow over our sin, to see our lost and ruined condition by nature. And, Lord, may we be found pouring out our hearts in confession. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Oh, but Lord, we pray, reveal ourselves to ourselves. And then reveal to us that glorious Saviour, the answer to our every failing, that the one in whom we poor sinners may find a refuge, the one in whom we are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, we do pray to be led to him, and that we may be brought to his feet, that we may be brought to fall at his feet, confessing that he is Lord of all. And Lord, may thy mercy and thy blessing be known upon us. May guilt and condemnation fall from us. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, be found in our hearts. Lord, do bless this church and people. Bless them with thy presence. Bless them with thy gracious leading. Guide and direct them in all things. Help them, Lord, as they meet week by week for worship and prayer. Lord, do visit them often with thy presence. Grant, Lord, that many tokens and evidences of thy presence among them might be known. May there be many sinners brought to testify of thy wondrous work of grace within them. Lord, may there be many who are wrought upon by thy Spirit to come and join in church membership here. May they be made willing in the day of thy power to take up their cross and to follow thee. May they esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Lord, we do ask that thou art work mightily and gather in from the congregation and do unite them in one heart and one mind. May they esteem other better than themselves. May there be an endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And may there be a helping one another, a bearing of one another's burdens, and may they so fulfil the law of Christ. And so, Lord, do glorify thyself here, and may the light of thy presence and thy blessing shine forth, and it may it shine forth from each individual and from this place. And may there be many that are brought to see the Lord hath done great things for them. And may there be an acknowledgement in the hearts of many here, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And so, Lord, we ask, do remember them each. We think of the children and the babes. Lord, do bless them, be with them. Help them while they're young in years. Lord, do keep them as the apple of thine eye. Hide them beneath the shadow of thy wing. May they, Lord, be kept in their day, in the days of their youth. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt establish them in the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, do bind their hearts unto thee. And Lord, do fix them in the church here, we pray. May there be those that are to grow up to be pillars in the church. Lord, may there be those to be sent forth from this place to minister the word of thy grace, to preach it, Lord, as enabled by thee. And Lord, may there be mothers in Israel. Oh Lord, we ask that thou would grant thy blessing upon them. Bless our older friends with the burdens of children and maybe the concerns of elderly parents and friends. Maybe they feel pressed in all directions with various concerns, dealing with the world, the things of the world, the temptations, the distractions, the daily harassments. Lord, do settle them. Settle their minds. Lord, do comfort them. Do bless them. May they prove each one the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Bear up those that have disappointments. Those, Lord, that are tempted and burdened with various things. Lord, those that are troubled in mind. Lord, who feel the weakness of mind and body, maybe. Those with afflictions and trials and difficulties. Lord, we pray that in all these things may we prove thy presence. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Oh Lord, may they feel those arms of love round about. Take them by the hand. Whisper, fear not, for I am with thee. Lord, that they may not feel they are walking alone. Lord, do comfort those that feel to be like the sparrow alone upon the housetop. May they prove they are not alone, but their Heavenly Father is watching, and the Spirit of God is in them. Oh, and the Lord Jesus himself is leading them. And so, Lord, we pray, comfort our older friends, help them with their infirmities. Help them to come to terms with the changes that come with old age. Be with those, Lord, who have been bereaved, suffer the loss of loved ones. Oh, do grant thy presence, we pray. sanctify these things, we beseech thee. May every circumstance that we are found in prove to be contained in those all things that work together for good. Oh, we do pray then, may we know thy grace, and may faith be given, and may these things work together in bringing us into a knowledge, a deeper knowledge of thyself. Lord, do help us as we turn to thy word. We pray that thou art bless it to us. And may there be something for us to take home, something that remains. O Lord, command a blessing, even life forevermore. Do forgive anything we've asked wrongly. Lord, we are poor sinners. Lord, our prayers are poor. We confess how far short we come in our asking. But oh, do give a make-up in giving. We pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 312. Ye tempted souls, reflect, whose name 'tis you profess. Your master's lot you must expect, temptations more or less. Hymn 312.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. With the Lord's help, this evening I will speak to you from verses 31 and 32. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. The Lord's help, I'll speak to you from verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This chapter 22 of Luke, in some ways, is a difficult chapter, isn't it, to read. It's a distressing chapter to read in a number of ways. We find the disciples on that Passover night, well, they seem to be bickering. There was a strife. We began reading at verse 24. There was a strife among them. They began to inquire among themselves which of them that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They had been told that one of them should betray their Lord and Master. And then there is this solemn thing in verse 21, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he be betrayed. And the disciples, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And then Simon, and then Judas. Master. He seems to go one further. Master. A more honourable title, maybe. One of more respect, maybe. Master. Is it I? Oh, these things are solemn. And then there's this striving. Who is the greatest among them? There seems to be no real thought of what's been spoken of by their Lord and Master. What he is shortly to endure. This is the night in which he would be betrayed. He's brought in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But what effect has it had? Oh, and then the Lord Jesus gives this warning. And you know, The blessing of our authorized version. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Plural. You know, this is addressed to them all. You know, Simon was the eldest disciple. In many ways, he was the one who spoke at times on behalf of them. He seemed to be the one who was forefront. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you all. You know, if you were using we used you everywhere. You'd have to add the word all, or each of you. Satan hath desired to have you, all of you. But Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you all as wheat. You know, this is a warning to the disciples. This is a warning to every child of God who professes the name of our Lord. May this warning this evening sound out loud and clear. Satan hath desired to have you. Peter, writing at the end of his first epistle, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What a profound statement. From the great apostle, speaking from personal experience, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, which hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while and endured these temptations and these buffetings and this sifting, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Satan hath desired to have you. Oh, what a prey of the Lord's dear children to the enemy of souls. Oh, his vehement hatred, his hatred of God, how he hates Almighty God, how he hates the eternal Son of God, how he hates and despises every child of God, every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this same adversary, the one whom often sought to tempt our Lord and Saviour, and who sought to attack the work of the gospel preaching from the day of Pentecost, and will try to the end of time. Satan hath desired to have you. Satan desired to have Job. Satan was given leave. The Lord permitted, in his infinite wisdom, to suffer it to be so, that Job should be found, even his body, subject to Satan's attacking. Oh, but he could go no further. Touch not his life. He is in thy hand. Touch not his life. Satan hath desired to have you. This is a deep mystery. That Satan desires to have the people of God that he might bring them to nothing. He would destroy them. He would destroy them if he could. He would extinguish that flame of divine light if he could. He would tear their faith in pieces if he could. And he would bring their religion to nothing if he could. And he's desired to have not just Peter, not just the other disciples, but the whole of the Church of God. Desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Well, what does this bring before us then? Well, it brings before us what sifting of wheat is. And in the Bible times, it was that the wheat was scattered on a hard surface, the floor, the threshing floor. And this sifting is not sieving as such, it's threshing. And it is threshing that wheat so that the outer surface of it, that the husk may separate and the seed may be exposed. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to get right to the grain, that he might finish it. Oh, this is a solemn warning to us, isn't it? You know, the threshing of the wheat. Oh, it could be ferocious. It's to break off that harder shell. It is to expose the seed. And this is the description our Lord uses concerning this desire. His desire to have you. As I said, his desire is to destroy. He would go further than thresh and separate. He would destroy the seed. He'd finish it. It'd be over if he could. But God, oh God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, has a wondrous way of turning even these things to the good of his people. Satan would have Peter in this instance, he'd have Peter in the same place as Judas. That's what he would do. He would have Peter suffering the same end, the same condemnation as Judas. And he'd have every child of God come to the same end as Judas, if he could. Oh, but God will not have his people brought to ruin. He will permit, in some measure, a sifting of them. Satan said previously that he detests, he hates the child of God. He hates the faith that God gives his children. That faith, that gift of faith, is a shield. It is part of the armour that the Apostle Paul speaks of. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Oh, how Satan has to begin there, doesn't he? And the Lord knew it. He knows how he works. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Thy faith fail not. Faith will be tried. Your faith will be tested. If you have God-given faith in your soul, it will be tried. It will be tested, but it will never be removed. Oh, this is a most wonderful and blessed truth. God gives faith. He permits that it might be tried. It's tested. And at times our faith may seem so small, so fragile, and yet it will never be taken back. God gives faith. He never takes it back. Never. Oh, you may mourn this evening your lack of faith. You may have an aching heart over the weakness of your faith. You may at times feel that searching word that the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, where is your faith? Where is it? Oh, but beloved friends, living faith is placed, its object that faith is placed in, that anchor's cast within the veil, it's founded, it's secured, its foundation is Jesus Christ. That's the object of true God-given faith. It lays hold of Jesus Christ. Then however weak you may perceive it at times, however feeble it may feel to be in your estimation at times, it's a precious gift It's a God-given gift, and it is fixed in Jesus Christ. And these things are eternal, and they're secure, they're everlasting. Oh, and there's ground and reason for hope. However weak and feeble you may feel this evening, I have prayed for thee. This is personal. Oh, the warning, Simon, Simon. Satan has desired to have you all, that he may sift you as wheat. But Simon, Simon, this is now for you. And I've prayed for you. I've prayed for thee individually, Simon, for your faith is to be sorely tried. And you are to be tested, Simon. But I have prayed for thee. Oh, you say, well, it all sounded nice when it was you, and it was the plural, and oh, it seemed in some way comforting, but now it's a singular prayer. I've prayed for thee. Oh, the you, collective, more than one, is to be sifted as wheat. Oh, what's the comfort then this evening? Oh, it's nice for Peter, but where's my hope? Well, what hope have I got? If I'm to be sifted, if I'm to be turned upside down, if my life's to be turned inside out, if I'm to be pressed from all sides, how will I not be overrun, overcome, utterly undone, and perish at last? Well, may the Lord help you to read his prayer as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Oh, this was at the same time, the same evening, that I have prayed for thee. And what a blessing this John 17 has been made under the power of the Holy Spirit to the poor, tempted Church of God throughout the ages. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them, plural, them, which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I have prayed for them all. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And he goes on to say, not only his disciples, but for the whole church of God. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, this loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering Lord God. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tender, sympathizing heart. Seeing all the need of all his people throughout the ages. Having experienced bodily what it was to live in this sin-cursed world among sinners, having tasted what it was to be tempted, even the Son of God, what it was to be tempted, the strength of those assaults that he suffered. Oh, what need he saw of divine help for every child of God. For they cannot stand. They could not stand. They cannot stand in their own strength. They have no power in and of themselves, while in a body of sin, to resist the temptations of the enemy of souls. Except the Lord make that way of escape and grant that all-sufficient strength and hold them fast and hold them up that their feet slip not. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan's desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, because Satan was to have a sifting of Peter in those next few hours. And Peter, what was his reply? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. No, no, Lord. You've got it wrong. No, no, I'm Peter. I'm the loving Peter. No, 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 I'm ready. I'm ready to go with thee. You know, Lord, you've it wrong here. I am ready to go with thee. And more than this, I'll go into prison. And more, I'll go to death. I'll die. That was his reply. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. No, Lord. I am ready. I am ready to suffer. I am ready to be put in prison. I am ready to die. This is my love. This is my faith. This is who I am. Oh, may the Lord keep us. Beloved friends, that you can in a moment of great love to the Lord make all sorts of oaths and promises. But the Word of God declares, better to not make an oath than to make one and not pay it. Oh, if you left to yourself, in a great love to the Lord, and at times the Lord's people, when they feel a sense of guilt and condemnation removed, and when they're lifted from the dunghill and they're set among the princes, and they lift from almost the very brink of hell to a prospect of heaven, there's nothing that they wouldn't do for him, they think. Love can be so full in the heart. Oh, but Oh, how we must be kept from any presumption, any careless oaths and promises. Promising the Lord we'll do this. Oh, and then not keep it. I tell thee, Peter, this is solemn, isn't it? I'll go to prison. I'll go to death. Peter, I tell thee, Peter. Mark my words, Peter. The cock shall not crow this day. And it was very late. The cock shall not crow this day before thou hast three times denied that thou even knew me. Deny that thou even knew me. And it isn't to be stretched on a rack, and it isn't to be threatened with your life. This is what he was going to find out. It isn't going to be under some extreme torture and pain. From a maid standing at the door. Art thou one of his disciples? Oh, he denied him with oaths and curses. I have prayed for thee. Oh, don't we see? We see the sovereignty. We see the eternal sonship of God displayed in Jesus Christ here. Oh, he knew all that was to take place. He knew all of Peter's failings. He knew what Peter, how strong Peter's faith was. He knew what would take place. And this is the loving kindness of God, isn't it? Oh, isn't this love displayed to a poor, unworthy sinner? I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. You say, didn't his faith fail? When he was questioned by the maid, art thou one of them? Didn't his faith fail? Oh, he failed in his replying. He failed to identify himself with his despised master. He failed to support him who he professed to love with all his heart. He failed in many ways. But the all-prevailing prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter was threshed. He was sifted like wheat. He was turned upside down and inside out. And what was removed? Well, his own self-worth. Self was stripped away. The husk was removed. Oh, he was brought very, very low. Oh, what a humbling experience the threshing was, the sifting of him was. Though he was tossed about from here and there, one place to another. But his faith failed not. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, these tears of sorrow. deep sense of regret, deep sense of inner loathing, betraying his master, the love of his master. He didn't sell him like Judas. He followed blindly in love, really, not knowing the weakness of his own heart and faith. The Lord knew that Peter loved him. Peter, we're told the Lord said, when thou art converted. Peter was called by grace before this. He was a disciple. He clearly declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He clearly shown and demonstrated his marks of conversion from death to life. But Peter's fall here was outward. It was before others. And he needed converting from it. Oh, he needed to be converted. He needed to be changed. He needed a great change to come upon him. He needed divine aid to come to him. He needed the Lord to come, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, to restore him, to recover him from this great sin. And you know, please do not misunderstand me, because I throw no stones, and none of us have no right to. But these things are a warning to us. They're left on record in God's word as an admonition and a warning for us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, the Apostle Peter, it was he who was with the disciples, the doors being shut, resurrection day, and Jesus stood in the midst. The Lord had met with Peter shortly after his resurrection, him and the Lord. And Peter, it was Peter that preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter who led the disciples to appoint another to replace Judas. He did strengthen his brethren. He was recovered. There was a great change. Oh, Peter went down to the depths in this denial of his master. May the Lord look in love and mercy upon the poor, tempted, tried children of God in 2022. And may we be kept from ourselves. Yes, there will be the sifting of us. Yes, like Peter, pride, our own self-worth, our own high thoughts of our faith, our own great estimations of some grandeur and greatness in the things of God will be stripped away in the sifting, in the threshing. But faith will be increased. The trial of your faith, says the Apostle Peter, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, shall be found unto the praise and honour of God and glory of God. Oh, the trial of Peter's faith. It bettered him. It bettered him. He was better for it. Oh, it purged off the dross. It removed the things that weren't necessary. The preserving power of God kept his faith alive, so that he didn't go out and hang himself. But he went and wept bitterly. Oh, may the Lord so encourage us. May the warning sound forth. But may the gracious divine help of our God both be made known to us in the text, but be seen in us and evidenced in our lives, that we're contained in the precious prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ while here below in his earthly ministry. I have prayed for thee. Oh, what a safety, what a comfort, what a resting place. Your prayers are poor, mine are poor. I have prayed for thee. Oh, the Lord would just seal that one promise into your heart, confirm it to you. I have prayed for thee. You're contained in the prayers offered up for the tempted, tried church of God throughout the ages, that they will make it through. They will be saved at last. They will not make shipwreck, because it's everlasting love. It's almighty arms of love that are underneath, that you will prove, and may I prove, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And though you may come down a lot, maybe you've got to be brought down a lot, yet not cast off, not cast away, but saved with an everlasting salvation, loved with an everlasting love. This is the this is the preservation of the saints of God. This is the fifth point of Calvinism. The preservation of the saints, the perseverance of the saints. None shall perish. All will be safe at last. Peter proved it. Oh, may we go on to prove it. Oh, may the Lord so bless us. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will preach for us again next Lord's Day and on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. But far more welcome to the soul is that secure abode when terrors o'er the conscience roll, the rock prepared of God. Hymn 1093.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.